This is Evelyn Bellini speaking on the 16th day of June, 1982, for the oral history program sponsored by the Scoville Memorial Library and the Salisbury Association. I will be talking with Mrs. Charles A. Fitz, Jr. Mrs. Fitz, where were you born and in what year?
I was born in New Hampton, New Hampshire, 1903, November 12th.
Where did you attend school?
I attended the elementary school in Price Corner, Westbrook, Maine, and the high school in Westbrook, Maine. I attended Colby College in Waterville, Maine, and I did some work toward graduate degree one summer at the University of New Hampshire near Dover, New Hampshire, and I did one summer at the University of Maine at Orono, Maine.
That's very interesting. And after that, where was your first employment?
The first 2 years of my teaching, I was in the academy at the Newcastle, Maine. I taught there 2 years. Then I taught 1 year in Lisbon, New Hampshire. Then I decided that perhaps I should do something different as a place of employment. In my home city of Portland, Maine, there was a teacher's agency. And to that teacher's agency in the summertime, various superintendents of school would come to find new teachers. It so happened that Mr. William Teague, who at that time was the superintendent of these five towns, which are now the regional towns. I made an appointment with him. I went in to see him, and he employed me to come down here, which was in the fall of 31. There was an interval when I was not teaching, making up my mind.
That's very interesting. And you came down here through that channel to Lakeville and Salisbury area?
It was the Salisbury High School, the new building, which is now the lower building of the Salisbury Central School.
That's right. And the regional high school was not yet built.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you taught in that high school building?
That's right.
What did you teach there?
My subjects were social studies and history.
And that from there you went to the regional high school when that was built?
That's right. It was not fully completed, but it was open and everything was ready to make do, so to speak. And I taught there until 1947 when I didn't retire. I just stopped teaching.
You just stopped. When were you married to Charles Fitz?
1940.
August. That was while you were teaching?
Yes, mm-hmm. August of 1940.
Were you ever a dean of...
Yes.
That's what I thought.
After teaching 1 year at the regional high school, I remember that I was asked to come into the office. And this was in the year of 39 before I was married, but knew I wanted to be married in 1940. And Mr. Stoddard, he was later Dr. Stoddard, he was then Mr. Stoddard. And he said, "Miss Gardner, how would you like to be the dean of girls?" I said, "I would very much wish to try it. Does it make any difference that I expect to be married this year? In the next year, in 1940 in the summer?" And they smiled and said, "No."
So you did work as dean
of
girls?
I would like to tell you something rather amusing in connection with that. After my summer at home, where I was married in the church at home, we had our first teachers' meeting this morning, and that same summer, Mr. Edward Dawson, who was then on the faculty, was married. And Mr. Stoddard said to the others, "I would like to introduce you to our new member of the faculty, Mrs. Fitz, and to Mr. Dawson, who's a new man."
That's quite amazing.
If you know Dr. Stoddard.
I do know Dr. Stoddard. Did know him rather very well, and Mr. Dorsett, too. I didn't think he would ever make a boo-boo.
I always remember them.
That is worth remembering. That's quite amusing. Mrs. Fitz, are there any interesting pupils with whom you had contact that you would like to tell us about?
I recall that during the war years, 1945, there were two American-born Japanese children born in California with the Japanese parents, but they were natural-born citizens, American-born citizens. They had been interned there and in Michigan. And then someone sponsored them to come to the regional, and they did very, very well. Peggy and Peter Suzuki. There were two other people at the regional whom I remember. During the war, the Harding family, who had relatives at the North Wales farm, came to this country to avoid the air raids in England. The older girl, Margaret Harding, enrolled as a junior, and taking into consideration the things she had learned in her English education, we managed to make a good course of study for her. The one thing that was most difficult for her, in England she had studied the Gregg system of shorthand. It was the Pitman system was taught here. But she managed. And her younger sister enrolled as a freshman. Of course, her curriculum was easily taken care of. There is another matter of interest in connection with this Harding family, and that took the father and mother and the two girls. They wished to become, to register as American and citizens and get their citizenship here. So I was asked to go to Hartford with them as a witness. I don't remember one thing that I had to witness to, but I remember this. We all went to a Chinese restaurant afterward, and how we enjoyed the chicken chow mein. This may be of interest in this age of computers. When the regional school was opened, each schedule, year's schedule for each individual pupil was made out with a great deal of effort by individual teachers and the principal. Before I stopped teaching in 47, all that was done through computers.
And still is. Fitz, did you have any civic involvement during the years in which you lived in this town?
Only as a Republican registrar of voters for 6 years. And I remember that in 1960, when John F. Kennedy was nominated and elected, that was the last of my service as a registrar of voters for the Republican Party. And I well remember all the excitement there was in connection with that.
Mrs. Fitz, would you tell us something about your experience as a Sunday school teacher or any other experience in Sunday school?
The first of my Sunday school teaching was with a class in what is now the Fellowship Hall. And we sat around a table. There would be no more than 5 or 6 pupils in the class. But it was a very interesting experience to teach them. And then, after the parish house was in the church, in the church's possession, I remember that the first of team teaching was down there, and I was asked to be a team teacher leader with 2 other people. One, a young man, I forget who it was now, and the other, one of Howard and Marion Batty's girls. Judy Batty. And I do remember very well that the man who was working with me had been interested in this kind of thing. Also, he'd been interested in computer, knowing about computer work. And I remember very well his telling me, what is fed into the computer is the thing that is always involved.
Very true. You also had connections with the United Methodist Women's Society. Would you like to tell us about that?
It was a very, very enjoyable and worthwhile experience. Irene Snell, the minister's pastor at the time, and Mrs. Milo Martin came walking up in a snowstorm to our home on Wells Hill, asking me to be vice president of the Women's Society. And I thought, if they can walk up here in this snowstorm and ask me, I cannot say no.
That's very good.
And I had a very interesting few years in that position. And I do remember that my experience at the school, in connection with being Dean of Women, was to help to find speakers at the school assembly. And one speaker whom I asked to come to the Women's Society was Mrs. Dr. Robert Spear, who had traveled a great deal with him when he was were in National YMCA work. They had been to China and various places. That is one example of the type of thing that happened because I had taught in the high school and was now vice president of the Women's Society in charge of the program.
That's very good. We should have people now who can do that sort of thing.
No, I'm sure they're available.
Yes, they are. They will do it, but so many won't. What else did you do in the church? I know you were connected with the Rotary Club luncheons for many years.
Yes. Mrs. Edmund was in charge of the first Rotary luncheons held every Tuesday in the Fellowship Hall of the church. And Mrs. Percy Decker, Charlotte Decker, worked with her. And Mr. Fitz would come home from the office with the car at 12 o'clock. Rotary lunches were first served at 1 or after that. I would have his lunch prepared, take the car, and go down and help in the kitchen. And I did not serve in the dining room, but I could observe, and it was a very, very fun experience. And Mrs. Edmund and Mrs. Decker are to be commended for starting that program, which still continues.
They were the ones who started it.
Yes, Mrs. Edmund particularly.
And then after that, Ann Chase took over. Did you work with her?
And now Mrs.
Pollock. Did you work with Ann Chase in that program?
Somehow, don't we? Yes, I did. Yes, I'm sure I did. But Mrs. Chase is so quick in all of a minute here and there that I don't have any distinct remembrance. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
But you did work for many years after Rotary Club luncheons.
Yes, I recall that.
And you were always in church on Sunday. I remember that, even though I wasn't. I understand also that you are an avid bird watcher and have been for many years. Would you like to tell us a little about that?
It has meant a great deal in my life to know the birds and to hear them and identify their songs. The whole interest started when my husband and I were going in February for our first month's vacation in Florida. And on the way down, we stopped the first night at Mr. Fitz's sister in Chatham, New Jersey. And he was an avid bird watcher with a capital A for both, and encouraged us to try to learn to identify Florida birds. We found that it was indeed interesting when we came home with them too. And even right to this day, I can lie in my bed in the morning and hear the morning dove and know it is the morning dove. I can hear the robin and know whether it's calling for rain or not, which we don't need right now.
And you still can identify from here when you
yes.
do hear most of these
and
birds.
And I need to know that in the winter storm here at Northern Horizon, there was a bird feeder on the dining room patio. And at that feeder, I had seen juncos on the patio floor. I had seen nuthatches at the feeder, chickadees there, and those are sparrows. Well, the robins had come then, but they are not feeders, but they were around. So they still are attracted to come here, as they are everywhere they have a chance.
Fitz, may we have a little of your background history?
My father was born in Hooksett, New Hampshire, and my mother was born in New Hampton, New Hampshire, and she was E. May Whitcher, and my older sister Dorothy, 2 years older than I, and myself, were born in New Hampton. After we moved to Maine, my three brothers were born. The oldest of the three was 7 years younger than I, Theodore Gordon, who is now deceased. The next older was Richard O. Gordon, 10 years older than I, whom we call Bim, B-I-M-S. And he had graduated from the University of Maine and was chosen as the state representative to go to Edgewood Arsenal during the war. He received his commission during the war. Was in the Pacific area, and when he came back, continued in the Army until he retired as a lieutenant colonel a few years ago. Before he had gone overseas in the war, he had married a Richmond girl, and he had a great many connections in Richmond himself, so he and his wife are now in a home in Richmond, Virginia. In fact, at this moment, starting the 14th, Monday of this week, he and his wife are on a 2-week tour of Scandinavia. But he is retired. And then, the youngest of our family, David Whitcher Gordon, is now at the home place. A house built on the home property in Westbrook, Maine. He and my oldest brother ran my father's dairy business for quite some time. And the youngest of the three now, David, is still in connected with a dairy in Portland.
It's very interesting.
Those are the boys.
Good. Is there anything else you would like to add before we close?
I think I should say that my husband's family, the Fitz family, has been a real second family to me. As a matter of fact, after I married Mr. Fitz, I knew Mother Fitz more closely than my own mother. And she came and lived with us through the years, except the summers, for 10 or 11 years. My older sister-in-law, Frieda Fitz, was in a position to come and live with me quite a few years after my husband died. And we carried on with the Wells Hill place with the help of Jack Bowman for a number of years. Then when it was difficult for both Frieda and me, arrangements were made for me to come to Northern. Perhaps it might be of interest to know that my husband's youngest sister, Esther, was connected with the Yankee magazine for a number of years and has just retired, but is still consulted with me.
Think that's it?
I think that's it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.